Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, given everything that's going on with COVID-19, it's no surprise to anybody that consumer behavior is now leaning more towards digital, and financial institutions particularly need to be aware of that. So with that digital transition, we want to take a look at some of the various products and services that are being offered or that are in the marketplace currently that consumers have really started to adopt and are starting to become more commonplace. And one of those in particular is certainly P2P payments. Now, P2P payments certainly isn't new in the sense that it certainly has had a terrific story over the past 3 to 5 years, but recently it's seen an absolutely exponential growth, and it's something that certainly that financial institutions need to pay attention to. So to help me talk about P2P payments today, I have Derek Schwartz, who is the Vice President of Product Management at Fiserv, and Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, during this episode, we are going to be referencing a couple of charts, and for those of you who are following along on paymentsjournal.com, you'll be able to view those charts in the article below. So there's certainly a lot of data to unpack during this episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Derek and Sarah, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, where we're taking a look at the growth of P2P payments. And it's certainly been a fantastic story, really, over the past like 3 to 5 years. And now, Sarah, I'd like to start with you. I think we've got this great chart provided to us by Mercator Advisor Group, and I was hoping that you could unpack it and explain what this chart means.
Yeah, happy to, Ryan. And you're absolutely right. There's been some really pretty amazing growth in the P2P space. Something that I don't think we've seen maybe since, you know, the initial beginnings of debit card. But to the slide, I've got one chart here that first tracks the growth of Venmo and Zelle transactions. They're the largest two P2P apps, and also they're really most transparent about their volume, so a little bit easier to track. But, you know, certainly there's some additional activity that's happening in the market through PayPal itself, through Square Cash, Facebook, and others. And, you know, what really strikes me when I look at this chart showing the growth of those two P2P apps is really the staying power of the growth. They've been growing at double and sometimes triple digits year over year, and they've been doing that for multiple years. And this tells me that, you know, P2P is really solving payment issues for its issuers, and it's offering an incrementally better option over alternative forms of payment. And in the case of P2P, the alternatives that we're talking about here are mostly cash and check. The other part of this slide shows the growth of those financial institutions that are integrated with Zelle and the announced partnerships. So what this is telling us is that, you know, certainly we've seen a lot of growth of integrated bank partners, but on top of that, there's a lot more to come that's going to contribute to Zelle's ongoing growth. Now, we won't really see, you know, huge spikes in growth, right? Because the largest financial institutions integrated, you know, some years ago. So the integrations now are in the mid and smaller sized financial institutions. But again, they're going to sustain that transaction growth in the Zelle network. You know, one thing I do think that really has the potential to create a spike in P2P use is the current environment under COVID-19. You know, we're hearing that first-time users and new app downloads have really increased in the last couple of months. You know, consumers just aren't in close proximity to exchange cash or check, and there's, you know, a concern about using cash. So, you know, this is moving some of those late adopters to get onto the P2P bandwagon. I think, you know, the big question now is really how much of this brand new growth sticks around after we get back to more typical patterns of payments. And I do think that we will see a good 30 to 50% of new users continuing to use P2P payments.
Yeah, Sarah, this is Derek. I would agree. You know, We had already been seeing a lot of dramatic growth from an adoption perspective in peer-to-peer. And, you know, we look at Zelle specifically, and it's a big momentum success story. But with COVID-19 and the global pandemic, we're certainly seeing an acceleration there. And we do believe that the behaviors that, you know, people are adopting will stick around, right? So, you know, peer-to-peer payments have been growing for a long time. They've been growing dramatically over the past year or two, but we're even seeing an acceleration in the past 2 months. What you see from a Zelle perspective is, you know, $187 billion processed in 2019, which was up 57% year over year. 743 million transactions, which is up 72%, and about 100,000 new users enrolling daily, right? So the fact that Zelle is becoming ubiquitous across financial institutions, the brand name is really out there and people are aware of it, is driving a lot more adoption from a consumer perspective.
Yeah, I certainly think all of that is, I mean, just the growth story is certainly an absolutely fantastic one there. But I want to kind of go to something that Sarah was talking about in terms of just the incredible adoption that we've seen. And obviously COVID-19 kind of playing a part in that. But COVID hasn't been around for the past 3 to 5 years here. And that's really kind of the overall story that we're talking about here in terms of just like, I mean, it's been fairly recent in terms of when you just look at overall time itself, but certainly a short amount of time of just 3 to 5 years. Derek, I really want to kind of get from your end in terms of just what your organization is seeing that's kind of driving this incredible adoption beyond the COVID-19 situation that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of factors that are contributing. You know, mobile usage and consumers being very comfortable making mobile payments. You know, 62% of consumers are making mobile payments today. So that contributes to the P2P success story. On top of that, you know, real time. So when we talk to consumers and we do our own internal research, what we find is that, you know, the majority of consumers really expect and think it's highly important that they are able to send money in real time. And so Zelle delivers on that need. It's also no longer kind of just a younger generation adoption story. We're seeing, you know, almost 30% increase in adoption of Zelle across age groups. So, you know, this goes to the boomers as well as seniors as well. So, it is really kind of hitting mainstream. And, you know, Zelle's simple. It's kind of already where people are doing much of their financial transactions. So that availability, it makes it simple for users. We know that from a consumer perspective, not only is it more convenient, but they also feel like it's safer because it is a part of kind of where they're already doing all of their financial life. So we think all of that's contributing. And then, of course, the marketing. You know, there is a national marketing that's been done by Early Warning, and then a lot of marketing that's been done by the individual participating institutions as well, which is contributing to that ubiquity from a brand perspective and that trust. All these things we think are, you know, meaningfully adding fuel to the fire there from a growth perspective.
No, I certainly think that you're right there, Derek, in terms of just like it is expanding kind of beyond those early adopters and kind of the tech savvy people to really kind of every generation, you know, from boomers to millennials and kind of beyond there in terms of just the growth and people using it. And I think that you brought up a great point in terms of just like the trust factor. You know, trust is really kind of just the mainstay for financial institutions, and having an experience there where I'm able to, you know, shift money from one of my friends to another within the kind of that application that I trust and I know, it is certainly one of those things that's just it's a real consumer benefit there. But now I kind of want to take a look at, because we obviously talked about some of the larger financial institutions that have really already adopted P2P payments here. But I'd kind of like to get your takes on some of the financial institutions who haven't adopted P2P payments and what's kind of the business case that you could present to them who are really kind of still on the fence about offering P2P payments to their clients?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of things that go into there. You know, customer experience and customer expectations is probably the biggest factor. So, you know, everybody wants to compete on customer experience these days. And, you know, with the majority of Americans, 52% of them being digital natives at this point, this is, you know, millennials or Gen Z. They have a certain expectation about being able to get things when they want them. And, you know, real-time payments, being able to pay people using a peer-to-peer solution plays right into those expectations. You know, we also see that from a long-term play, you know, it's really important for institutions to start to put their toe in the water on real-time payments. This is where, you know, the market is going. Faster and faster payments. And so for most institutions, Zelle is the first time that they're really doing that, actually rolling out a product that allows for real-time payments. And so when they partner with Fiserv, when we connect them, it's part of a broader movement, that connection where they use the Now Network that we support real-time payments with allows them to, in the future, build on that investment and offer new use cases for real-time payments, whether that's, you know, account-to-account transfers or potentially bill payments or disbursements. It opens the door to a lot of other possibilities. So it's an investment not only in a, you know, customer experience for a particular product, but also more broadly in a capability. You know, Zelle also helps reduce costs. If you think about how people traditionally handle, you know, peer-to-peer payments, handing money over to people that they know, it's checks and cash. Checks are expensive. You know, if we just reduce 2 to 5 checks for an institution over the course of a year, that's 10 to 25 bucks that's being saved from an expense perspective. And we think there's a lot more opportunity beyond just that 2 to 5, right? So, the more people get comfortable, and the bigger the network grows, the more payments are going through this channel, and therefore checks are reduced. And then, you know, the other thing is just monetizing that customer engagement. Every financial institution wants to kind of have relationship primacy. They want to be, you know, the number one company that consumers go to when it comes to their financial lives. And so by offering, you know, a high value ability to send money, it makes customers come back again and again to the website, to the mobile app. And as a part of that, financial institutions can cross sell. They can try to build that relationship deeper. And, you know, that what that also does is it protects against not only attrition, them going someplace else, but kind of a bigger threat is disintermediation. So, you know, there's a ton of financial companies, financial technology companies, or just technology companies that are trying to offer comparable services, you know, whether that's PayPal or Square Cash or Apple or Facebook, right? So consumers are having these expectations. If they're not met by their financial institution, they're likely going to go elsewhere. So it's important that for financial institutions to stay relevant, that they offer, you know, the necessary things that their customers are demanding. So all of that kind of folds into that business case. Why is it important? It's important for all those reasons.
Derek, just a follow-up question for you. You mentioned a little bit about real-time payments, and I know from a consumer perspective that Zelle has always been real-time. So if I get notified that I have received a payment from Zelle, I know that I can go and use that money right away. But what about real time from a settlement perspective? Is that happening, or really are there any risks from a settlement perspective?
Yeah, we get this question a lot. So the way that it works with the early warning network is that, you know, as you said, the messaging happens and we check for balance and we basically do a promise to pay as a part of the network funding. And so from a consumer perspective, when I send you that money within minutes, you can just go to the ATM and literally pull it right out. So the consumer, it is completely real time. On the back end, ACH is used to actually settle the funds each night, but there's no credit risk because as a part of the actual call from a network perspective, we verify that the funds are there and the funds are secured. So there's no credit risk for the participating institutions.
You know, that's certainly very interesting. And to a lot of your points, Derek, that you were talking about in terms of just consumer expectations and demands. I mean, I can certainly say from a personal experience, a financial institution that I had banked with for, I believe, about 14 years, really didn't offer at the time, a mobile wallet or mobile, a way to mobily pay, for things. And I ended up switching financial institutions solely on that reason, because of it. And so what I'd love to kind of get is your reaction to, do you think that we're at a stage now where P2P payments is really just kind of become, is no longer a nice to have, but kind of really a table stakes, for financial institutions? And then I've got another follow-up one to that as soon as we're through with this.
Yeah. I think that if a financial institution wants to remain, digitally relevant, it is table stakes at this point because, consumers are expecting that they can send money digitally as easy as they can pass cash across the table at a restaurant, right? So, and there is a number of solutions out there that enable that. So, if financial institutions aren't in the game, I think that they're missing a critical piece of their overall digital engagement strategy. So I do think it's table stakes, and I think that the numbers and the momentum from a marketplace, show that to be true.
Yeah, and to follow up on that, I honestly think just kind of looking at media as a whole, I think that, financial institutions that haven't are kind of in the minority section of that group right there. As I know that there's been a lot of media coverage, especially certain financial institutions partnering with your organization. And maybe you could kind of perhaps shed a little bit of light on some of those recent announcements that your organization has.
Yeah, so we just announced that we have a partnership with Redstone, FCU, and so they're coming on board with real-time payments. So for Zelle, as well as our account-to-account transfer product, TransferNow, so leveraging that Now connection to do real-time payments for kind of more than one use case. So we're super excited about that. In general, we have, hundreds of clients that we've sold. In fact, we've got hundreds of clients that are actually in the implementation process right now. So we have seen a ton of demand. And so, we continue to be out there working with all of our customers and prospects, and trying to, get more people onboarded as quickly as we can. But there is a ton of demand out there. There's still kind of a long tail from a marketplace perspective of smaller to medium-sized institutions that either don't have a solution or have maybe a suboptimal solution. And so we're working with all of those guys to, try to get them onboarded to Zelle. The primary value proposition that we offer to our clients from a turnkey Zelle perspective is reducing complexity. We make it easy for clients to onboard and participate in the real time. We make all of our, real time fraud tools available to them, and they get the benefit of being a part of not only the Zelle network, but the Fiserv network. We service hundreds of clients from a P2P perspective and have a long history in that market. So, we make it easy for clients. And for a lot of these institutions, the investment to go do this on your own is just not feasible, right? So, we really pride ourselves on how we can help our customers and then help their consumers take advantage of Zelle.
Excellent. Yeah, certainly agree with you in terms of that. Finding the right partner is certainly that, and I think Fiserv is certainly that for a lot of financial institutions. So thank you, Derek and Sarah, for taking the time today for speaking to us about this extraordinary story around P2P payments, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Ryan.